You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Beckley, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
This is the Dan Levitar Show with the Stugatz Podcast. Start of the day, start of the day. It is the start of the day. Start of the day, start of the day. It is the start of the day. Start of the day, start of the day. It is the start of the day. Start of the day, start of the day. It is the start of the day.
Dan, this according to Evan Kaplan on Twitter, Tom Brady became the sixth quarterback with at least 9 touchdowns in his team's first 2 games of the season. The other 5 had an average age of 29.8 years. Brady is 44. I have another Brady stat if you like.
There are many going around.
This is courtesy of StatMuse. In his 8 regular season games against the Falcons, Tom Brady is 8-0. He has thrown for 2,507 yards, 22 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. It's not including the Super Bowl.
This is courtesy of Doug Kied of Pro Football Focus.
This is the one. This is the one I was like, you got to be kidding me. You have to be kidding me.
What? Kied? Okay. All right. Well, I was going phonetic there.
It's a fine.
Regular season plus postseason passing touchdowns for Tom Brady in his 20s. 167. Regular season plus postseason passing touchdown in his 40s. 154.
What? In that game, you know me. I feel bad for people. I felt bad for Matt Ryan on one of the pick sixes. I don't know which one. On one of the pick sixes. Oof. Where he just laid on his back on the 20-yard line and everyone ran back past him joyously.
What's the point of getting up?
But in a stadium rollicking with joy on, again, one of the 2 pick sixes, the very long Matt Ryan, who is just trying to do any little thing to eke out some points. They have been getting worse every day since the score was 28-3 with the end of his career. And to me, that was rock bottom right there.
Really?
Where
not the Super Bowl?
He looked like he was physically being trampled by stampeding bucks as he laid on his back on the 20-yard line and a joyous stadium broke out around him. I want to talk. We've got a lot to talk about in football because I still haven't gotten to the escalation of those late games that ended after Minnesota missing a field goal that it should make, Dallas making a field goal it should miss, Derrick Henry running through secondaries in Seattle, and then you get to the late game. And then you get to the late game, and Mike, while we're doing the YouTube post game, Mike is writing in the chat after a pick six by Lamar Jackson. He's like, I'm ready to write him off. I'm ready.
Said I was going to let the Lamar takes fly. If this game goes away, it's looking.
Well, let him fly.
Oh, man. No, I don't want to do the show that I was doing in my living room. He figured it out. What a performance.
Oh,
what a player.
God. He's so
dynamic.
Good.
That jump pass. Wow. Guts. Occasionally we'll throw it into triple coverage, but guts. Fast. Strong. a body that's somehow grown two times in size since college, and yet no one talks about that.
It's amazing on a field of world-class athletes that includes Tyreek Hill, okay, and includes Patrick Mahomes. That guy stands out. He's the best athlete on that field.
You say it as if you're surprised. I mean, we know.
But to stand out in that way is surprising to me still.
But he is the reason he's playing quarterback in that league, and the reason that it confused Bill Polian so is because he is more athletic than anyone on the field, and we are making a move ever so quickly, I guess I would say, given the feat that we're talking about when Kyler Murray is doing, where we're forgetting about the size and how your hand size and all that stuff. And does it not seem that we're headed toward an evolution in time where we're going to arrive at every team's best athlete is going to be the quarterback?
Except in Tampa.
Right.
But he'll still be there.
Until he's 50
at least, yeah.
I love that we can say he's not an athlete while at 44 he's doing athlete things that we've never seen before. And Stugat said flatly, go ahead, Dan. I defy you to say he won't be doing it at 50. And I was scared to say he won't be doing it at 50.
How could you doubt the man at this point? I mean, honestly.
Because he's Sacha Baron Cohen's age. You have him at 50. Sacha Baron Cohen is actually a little bit older. He's 50, but there are all sorts of 50-year-olds out there that can't be doing what Tom Brady is doing. I can't believe that I'm still here talking about this. And,
amazing.
And it's not going to let up.
No. And here's the other thing. Gronk, at least through the first two games of this season, looks like Gronk in his prime. I mean, he looks fantastic. It's amazing. This is a different Gronk than the Gronk we saw last season. I mean,
I will say it again because I really do feel like we underestimated the fact that the Tampa Bay Bucs won the championship with an Antonio Brown who didn't look like the Antonio Brown that they got. Antonio Brown was the best receiver in this league, Stugatz. It wasn't that long ago, but then everything that happened with him made last year a thing that didn't fit. On top of everything else that Brady has done, was Brady the only public person on Antonio Brown's side during all of that? Was he the only one that Antonio Brown could look at and say, well, that guy never left my side when I was dealing with things, and then what do they do yesterday? Because Mike Evans only had whatever it was, three catches in the first game, because it's Atlanta,
right?
And they know he's 8-0 and Atlanta's broken.
He got him a couple.
Just got him a couple.
Yeah.
Just got at 44 years old. Hey, Mike, here are a couple of touchdowns. Here are tutties, as they call them in a really annoying fashion.
There are a couple of guys I feel bad for. I have no idea what happened to Scotty Miller, and I have no idea what's going on with Cameron Brate. That used to be his go-to guy. I mean, that's like the seventh guy he throws to now or looks at now. And O.J. Howard.
He picked wisely.
Oh, my God.
Can we stop talking about whether or not Sean Payton has fixed Jameis Winston?
LASIK.
Are we just going to do this every – are we going to do it every week? We're going to go back and forth. You guys were arguing that the quarterback for the Bucs was blind, got an eye surgery. Nobody in the league knew it. Nobody in the – you guys were arguing after week one that he had gone from blind to being able to see and from 30 interceptions to 5 touchdowns in a game because he had some sort of eye surgery.
No, Dan. It's week two. What do we do in week two? We pivot. Carolina Panthers, for real. Huh?
Yeah.
Wow. If they did that to Jameis, mighty good team they got there in the ambiguous Carolina area.
Also, maybe Sean Payton, not a quarterback whisperer after all.
We're going to change that from week to week.
Hot seat.
I had him as the best quarterback coach in the history of the NFL last week.
One game. That'll do it.
He's only got 2 interceptions. I mean, Brady has 2. He does.
I was ready to schedule an appointment to get LASIK last week.
Yeah.
hold off now.
If that had been a thing, do you realize, do you guys realize what a great spokesman for LASIK Jameis Winston would have been? He could have, he would have cornered this market on fixing your eyesight if he could have just replicated week one every week for the rest of his life, as opposed to being Jameis Winston in week two. Mina had that one called. She said, and these are the things that are always confusing to me because I thought that was as surprising a result. To me, that sat there, Saints, whatever it was, -3.5. And I'm like, well, you got it. I mean, look at the Saints. It's Sam Darnold. But they had their secondary out, or two of their corners were out. And
we don't pay attention to that stuff.
Well, gamblers do, obviously.
Right.
Gamblers,
good ones.
Good gamblers, which we are not, do pay attention to that. I, on the other hand, will turn on the game and I'm like, I picked the over. Wait a minute. Why is it 400 mile per hour winds and snow? That'll happen to me regularly. Put this on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard Show. Do you often turn on your television after gambling on a team and are surprised by the wind and snow conditions?
It's something we should be looking at.
For sure. I am admitting on the front end that I'm not doing this scientifically. I could probably use slightly more information than I have, but I feel like most people listening to this would have said, you know what? I got the Saints in that game. I got the Saints against Carolina. I will take them on the money line. I will take them in my survivor pool.
There was a stretch, I think it was last season, where there were three consecutive games in Cleveland where I think we all had the over and the weather was beyond the wall in Game of Thrones. It was just, there were White Walkers at the 40-yard line and we were like, ha! Should have checked that out. And then you just start playing the averages. No way the weather can be that bad the very next week. 60 mile per hour winds coming off of the lake.
Disregarding that the Saints have 8 coaches out with COVID and Marshawn Lattimore is out. And Carolina beats them. Oh, what happened there? Well, they have 8 coaches out with COVID.
We're bad at this.
When there's bad weather at a football game, do you guys ever go and look at the Doppler radar for that area to see exactly what time the bad weather will end and if it's going to worsen?
Second half over?
Because if there's one thing that I know better than sports betting, it's how to read the Doppler radar.
Jeff, did you not hear what I just said? I tuned into the game after putting money on it and had no idea that there were 400 mile per hour winds.
And you have them going to the Doppler?
going and checking like the Weather Channel?
He won't even text Diana Rossini for a weather update.
Well, this weekend there was a big weather delay between Clemson and Georgia Tech. And one of my friends texted me and was like, what happens when there's a weather delay? Are they going to finish this game? So I went on the weather radar website and I was like, well, there's going to be scattered storms for the next 30 minutes. So they're going to have to wait 30 minutes to the last lightning strike. It looks like things are going to clear up around 7 o'clock Eastern time, which means you'll have about a 7:30 kickoff.
Let's talk some college football here, because before we turned on the microphones, Dugatz, we were talking about FSU football. We were marveling at FSU starting 0-3 for the first time since the 1970s.
Crazy.
You've got Chris Palmer from the NBA. This is Chris Palmer, NBA, saying FSU has hit rock bottom. No culture, no fight, no effort. Poorly coached. Time for a coaching change. Mike Norvell must go. You've reached a special kind of bad when the people from the NBA are coming over and firing.
When you pissed off Chris Palmer.
Firing your coach.
I know he's got plenty of L's to spare, but make sure you pronounce the L's in his last name, Dan.
Did I not?
You called him Mike Norvell, which he's begging for you because you just cut a couple L's off of his record. But it's Mike Norvell.
Not the most impressive thing that anyone did with L's this week. And you see, after Fresno State hasn't been this good since the days of mustachioed Pat Hill.
Oh, that guy.
Walrus Pat Hill.
That is a bad man, Pat Hill.
Yeah. Beats UCLA. I think everybody was saying Chip Kelly was back. Beats UCLA, and then the Fresno State Twitter account puts up the Hollywood sign with only the L's.
It's good banter. It's good banter. There was a lot of good banter. West Virginia had Exit Sandman, and Michigan State did the thing where they turned the U upside down, which I don't like. Stop doing this. Stop normalizing this. This is not okay.
You were upset with
this.
That
is not okay. It's not okay. Someone did that to me in Atlanta, and I was like, are we going to have a problem? I said, hey, good game, and they turned the U upside down. That's someone just going with the middle finger like this to you. It's so disrespectful. Why do we allow for this?
Are we going to have a problem is something I haven't heard since Mark Schlereth spit it at you when you got into a Twitter spat with him and then ran away.
Yes, which is very intimidating, which is why I just replicate it. I was like, oh, man, that guy was very intimidating when he said, are we going to have a problem here? So now anytime I get into an almost confrontation, I just say that because I realize how disarmed I was by Mark Schlereth doing it. Now, very different body types, Mark Schlereth and I. His neck is bigger than my torso.
I thought the Michigan State wide receiver, was it Nalen? I thought that he did it well. He scores a touchdown, ends the game, jumps up in the air, holds up the U, and then flips it down. And I sent you it in slow motion simply to enrage you.
It's not cool. It really is. It's not cool. It's not cool.
Did it work?
In setting me off? Yeah. That's me off. No, we're making this a bit now. People are in my mentions thinking that they can send it to me, and we're not good. You're telling me to bleep off, and I don't like it. I take personal offense. You guys are laughing. I swear to God, don't do that to me.
It's not a laughing matter.
No, it's not a laughing matter. You catch me in the wrong moment, we're going to have a problem.
Is the upside down U the complete opposite of a see you in January?
Yes. Yeah. And I was a little jealous watching Sunday Night Football because I imagine the Ravens and Chiefs fan bases were also exchanging see you in January's that were mine just a week ago.
See you in January polygamists, yeah. Chiefs fans.
I don't like it one bit.
We were talking earlier about John Harbaugh asking Lamar Jackson what he wanted to do and just marveling in general at how stubborn authority, leadership, people in general are about change. Because John Harbaugh is being saluted for his courage at the end of that game, doing something, Stugatz, that you can make the argument the conditions in the history of the sport have never been better for you to go for it on fourth and short in your territory than Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, and Travis Kelce are who you'd be giving the ball back to with time, and right, all they have to get is that kicker, a field goal chance, and you have Lamar Jackson. All you need is 1 yard. For about 15 years, as John Gruden has said, John Gruden gets these academics and they give him papers and he throws them aside and says, how many of these math guys have ever coached an NFL game?
Right.
And for years, the stubbornness of fourth and short has slowly gotten better, but we eviscerated Belichick when he went for it against Peyton Manning on fourth and short and didn't make it, and we would have eviscerated Harbaugh.
No doubt.
Even though the math supported him, how could you give the ball back? You've got one play for 1 yard, and to my way of thinking, every coach in every sport, if the game comes down to you need to get 1 yard on one play, you want to be on offense and you want to go for it. Almost across the board, it's as damn close to absolute as I can make something. If you're telling me at any point that my team needs to get a yard for the game, I always want to be in that situation, and I always don't want to be on defense in that situation.
There's a couple of things. He's embraced it. He has job security. He has that quarterback. So I feel like his decision was pretty easy, plus the opponent. So your choices there are, do I punt it and make Mahomes go 60 yards, or do I go for it? And if I don't get it, he's got to go 40 yards.
No.
I mean, the game's effectively over.
If you don't get it, you lose. If you get it, you win. Choice was this. Because, I mean, I suppose some things could have gone wrong, but Kansas City's win probability would have shot through the roof if they don't get that fourth down.
Dan, on the drive before, they got down to the 30-yard line, Baltimore's 30, in like three plays in less than like 45 seconds, and then Hilaire had the fumble. Like, they could do that at will. It feels like they could do that anytime they want.
That's the Chiefs doing what the Chiefs do, even though they lost the game offensively, getting nothing from Tyreek Hill. The Ravens were simply intent, Stugatz, on Tyreek Hill is not going to be the choice that you make today, because otherwise we've seen Tyreek Hill have 200 yards, I think, against the Bucks in a first quarter.
Right. He had 3 catches, 14 yards last night.
It was a weird approach from the Chiefs that entire game. It's like they were kind of bored by it. And in retrospect, Travis Kelce not knowing that he was playing the Ravens on that Manning cast on Monday night might have been a sign.
You think that that was boredom? I gave the Ravens credit for whatever it is that they were doing to take away Tyreek Hill. I wasn't assuming that Tyreek Hill was bored Chiefs or that they weren't trying to go to him. I just assumed that defensively that they were all lined up trying to make sure he didn't get the football.
They were double-teaming him, and Andy Reid and the Chiefs occasionally do this thing where they did this at Buffalo, too, where Tyreek Hill is best used as a decoy because he can open everything else up for the offense. But I was watching that game. I'm like, where are all the good plays? You guys don't want to play the good plays against Baltimore? Are you saving the good plays? Where are the good plays?
I just love that team is so much different than any in the sport that you're saying, where are the good plays when they put up 35? Actually, I shouldn't say they're different than everyone, because Tampa feels a little bit like that. Tampa feels like you're rarely going to get one of the most amazing things, Stugatz, that we have seen with recent Super Bowl stuff, and this was a Patriots offense with Brady, is Brady winning a Super Bowl against the Rams with 13 points. I think that is where McVay decided Jared Goff's not going to be my quarterback going forward. If that can happen to me in a Super Bowl where my guy can be exposed Belichick made Goff look a little bit like Zach Wilson, like a rookie quarterback looked yesterday against Belichick.
It was an incredible performance from the Baltimore Ravens, though, in that Sunday night game, because no one's really talking about it. It's not sexy, all the injuries that they had on that offensive line. Lamar Jackson's doing that with a beat-up offensive line. Lamar Jackson was down 11 to the Kansas City Chiefs. I was letting the takes fly in group chats, like, this is exactly where things go south for Lamar Jackson, and he willed that team to victory, even though that should have been called for taunting. I think we can all agree.
Oh, yeah, that touchdown shouldn't have counted.
This taunting thing is ridiculous.
Ravens should be 0-2. Yeah.
What are they doing? Like, was there a meeting where everyone sat around?
There was too much taunting?
Yes.
Yeah. John Mara.
The Maras were there.
Decided.
Of course they're there.
All the Maras were there.
Is bad.
The Maras are always there for a taunting meeting.
Rooney Mara.
There were so many Maras and so many Rooneys there.
Just had to sit in a corner. Yes. Rooney yes. ruled on this.
So many Maras. Like, great-grandma Mara was there. There was an urn with, like, great-grandpa Mara was there.
Joaquin Phoenix was holding.
You have ashes? Mara
yes.
ashes?
Yes. No more taunting. What do you mean?
Does Rooney take Joaquin to a game? I would love it. Don't even show the game. Just fixate the camera on Joaquin Phoenix watching a football game the entire time.
This is generational. Right? This is the old people who run that sport simply not wanting any emotion where people are risking their spines in pursuit of glory.
It's also a team that's getting taunted a lot because it's bad.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing. And he's got Joe Judge reaffirming everything. Like, we're going to be classy. We're going to be drilled and we're going to be disciplined. And yeah. No, the problem is everybody else. We can get a free 15 yards when they beat our ass.
There was a dude for the Seahawks yesterday who just flexed, like, did this 15 yards. Yeah. That's like, what? Who was this for?
It's all subjective.
Was this a problem?
Yeah, we were all saying, wow, how fun celebrations are.
We'll give you celebrations. No, this is what's happening. Look, when they get together and they collectively bargain things, this is what's happening. We'll give you celebrations. But over here, you know what we're going to double down on? Etiquette. It's what people want with their football. we're gonna give you a little bit over here where you can dance and have some fun, but over here, keep it quiet, don't talk, no emotion. Dance with repression.
This is like the kid who got bullied for wearing glasses in middle school growing up to become the governor and deciding that if you bully someone, you go to jail for 20 years. Yeah. It's just pure spite. You're right. The Giants are just sad because they lose a lot and they get made fun of.
And no one can actually hear the offense. I can see a flex, but in half the 1 o'clock games, a flex is fine. Higgins for Cleveland, if he gets a 7-yard out, he'll do that, and they won't call it. But if you have one ref that's having a bad day and you don't hear what's said, you're just confused. 15 yards for what? I can see a holding most of the time. I can't see what's going on there.
But how does this work when the taunting benefits your team? Do you love it? Do you love the call?
No. Yeah, I mean the other team. Like, they're a bunch of cheaters and losers. Oh, screw them.
If if Lamar Jackson doesn't get called for taunting while he flips into the end zone, and I think we should all agree that
wasn't
that was
a
egregious. Yes. And it shouldn't have been
disgusting.
A
stain on the NFL.
It's disgusting.
Listen, you get yards you don't deserve because they throw the flag for taunting, and you're telling me you don't like that? I mean, that seems ridiculous.
I like it.
Just call it against the Ravens, I think is what I'm saying.
Yeah, the Ravens. Screw them.
Screw them.
The AFC Big North in those two chairs. It's just, it's tainted. There was an accusation from Lamar Jackson 20 minutes ago that no one picked up on. It's just a bitter AFC North chairs over
what,
there.
What, are you talking about how his neck has grown?
Whoa.
What?
I mean, that can happen with the development of weight rooms and nutrition. You can get that
a lot
big.
Of neck exercises, I understand that. Honestly, it's his chin, though. It's pointy and it makes it look a lot bigger than it is.
I love the idea of questioning Lamar Jackson, but not Tom Brady.
I mean, neck size is the same.
Neck size? What?
Can we fill out this room? Clearly, it's a conference room littered with Maras. And they're sitting around. There's a big table, right? And it's been in the family for 100 years, and it cost $1 million.
Jerry Richardson sold his team, and he's still in this room.
He is. And for whatever reason, the lighting and the original score from Succession are there.
And you think, right, they're talking, and they're like, well, we'll get rid of taunting. And then afterward, one of the mayors is saying, can we do anything about tabloid headlines? Like, they just want to keep moving.
Kendall from Succession is just there bare holding back tears.
They want to take away face masks.
And then they played Boar on the Floor. It was really weird.
Yeah, in front of the huge painting of Y.A. Tittle.
Who are they playing Boar on the Floor with, though? Is it Judge? Like, who is it? Is it Gettleman? Like, who?
Sorry, Gettleman, they fly him out to the softball game just to make fun of him.
It's Jason Garrett and Joe Judge, yeah.
They offered Gettleman $100 million if he can get a double.
Who was complaining about taunting other than the Maras? It's not like it was a plague in the NFL. And now, again, I will say this again. There are prayer circles and ambulances nearby. These people are fighting for every yard in a way that can gnarl knuckles and have you hurting on Wednesday. Mike just told you that Higgins is celebrating when he gets half the yardage on a catch that they're just giving if someone says something in the face mask of someone else. This is only rules that can possibly be made by people who don't play this for a living. Because there's just no way, there's simply no way that you should have these games decided by etiquette. And it's not just that, Stu Gatz. I don't know if you saw this, but I'm pretty sure that this was that Joe Burrow totally faked a hit on the sideline to get a 15-yard penalty on Robert Quinn during a game. It felt like he was acting, and he got it because the rules are different for the quarterbacks. But
he got it because he can. Because if he's a good enough actor, they're going to throw the flag. I mean, that's why.
Anytime a quarterback goes down,
go down.
That is such a change in football that even as I understand the health and the need to protect that position, it's been legitimately confusing to me to see violence all over the field, and then just one guy. Anytime he's hit hard, I'm now expecting a flag. Anytime a quarterback is hit hard,
if you just hit somebody too hard, it's a flag. Never mind if it's clean or not. I mean, it obviously matters, but if you hit somebody clean but it's too hard, they're going to throw a flag just based off their initial instinct. My main takeaway from that Joe Burrow incident was, it's like, is Robert Quinn trying to play for every team? Because every year he's in a different uniform. That was me learning he was a Chicago Bear. I thought he was a Ram again. He was a St. Louis Ram, then an L.A. Ram. Then he was a Cowboy, and he was a Dolphin, and he was a St. Louis Ram. This happens to pass rushers.
Cordarrelle Patterson has not played for a lot of teams, right? I just keep seeing him. I'm telling you that
he's played for a bunch.
There was Patriots, the
Vikings,
mm-hmm. Raiders. Was he a Raider?
I told you
yesterday.
He was
a Raider for a hot minute. You forget the Raider year.
I told you yesterday that I found something. Put it on the poll again, please, Guillermo. Did you find something soothing about seeing Cordarrelle Patterson out there and just being confused by that number and that size being in the backfield again? Because I'm just used to that body type now being at wide receiver, and I'm confused at the number of different uniforms where they're making 84 play in their backfield. And he was scoring touchdowns yesterday, and there was something soothing about it for me to see him out there as number 84 in the backfield when he's clearly not a running back, but he is.
Right. Nice traditional number.
Yeah, it was soothing to see a grandfathered in weird number as opposed to a middle linebacker wearing number 6. It's still confusing me over there, Baltimore. Should clean that up.
Who else is in this conference room where they're deciding?
There has to be a McCaskey in there.
I mean, all you need to know is that the Giants co-owner's first name is Wellington.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike. And typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right. You crack that puppy open and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Lebatard.
We like to call this one a chorus of Owen Wilson. Yeah. Ready?
Stugatz.
Wow.
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 This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
Very excited to talk about a name that Jessica just brought up that I have not heard before she just brought it up. And it triggered the Stugatz of, like, I would sign that guy right away based on just his name.
If I'm a rogue scout in a field in the middle of nowhere and I call you with this particular name, you sign this person.
We will get to that name in a second. But first, because the pandemic continues to sort of encroach on where we are at the Clevelander, because it is a little bit sad what you've seen happen over the last 18 months to this region as the parking garage that we have been disgusted by for a decade feels like it's encroaching closer and closer to where we are. Jessica was just climbing up, not the garage steps, but the steps that bring us right here to the studio. And what she said to me out loud is, on one of the stairs, that shrimp head has been there for a month.
Who eats a shrimp tail on a stairwell and then leaves it there?
Sorry about that.
What is the name of this wonderful person that Stugatz would sign if he were simply in a field somewhere? I love that this is always the example. Stugatz in a field somewhere, and then this great prospect emerges, and he's only got a name. For some reason, to that moment, Stugatz
got binoculars. You're an old-school scout.
It's exactly.
Ames, Iowa.
It has to be Ames, Iowa, somewhere middle America, something like that. Just a rogue field. I'm driving by. I see a kid out there. He looks like he could be good. I get the binoculars out. I get a little bit closer. I introduce myself, and then he tells me his name. I mean,
his name? Jackson Dart.
Oh, my. And five star.
Let me make it even better. Hold on. Jackson with an X.
Wow. It does make it better.
Wow.
His name is Jax Dart.
Wow.
Jax Dart.
He's a freshman. He had 391 yards and 4 touchdowns with 2 interceptions against Washington State. Little interconference play there. He's battling now for the QB position at USC with Keaton Slovis.
You'd much rather have a dart than a Slovis.
Oh, my God. Slovis is done.
At that position, you want a dart over a Slovis.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Must you have a dart over a Slovis? Mike Ryan, the reason we were talking about this is because we were sort of, I guess, mocking Rolovich and just everything happening at Washington State, where you can't just go into Washington State and expect to leave with a victory and without COVID. Like, you can't expect to go in there and Jackson Dart is what is meeting you. Tell me, I want to hear more. I want to know more about what it is that we're talking about here.
Well, he's from Utah, Dan. Wow. I had him from California, and then I looked it up. He's actually from Utah. Oh. Mike and I were wondering, do you think he's young enough to have been named after Jax from Sons of Anarchy?
He's 18. No, he just missed it. That's a weird name for Utah. It didn't have the Jax with an X.
Yeah.
Didn't. That's a California name, no doubt.
Yeah.
Jalen Rose claims to have birthed all Jalens after him. And the reason I bring this up is because Jalen Ramsey yesterday, there can't be a worse way to lose your Sunday than throwing the ball to Jalen Ramsey.
Oh, he's not going to let you forget. Oh,
I mean, he just ran around the stadium. He took a victory lap around the stadium telling
he's
the
still
crowd
doing it.
To shut up. And he's got the football in his hands. It's bad enough to lose, right? It's bad enough to start your season the way the Colts have. 0-2. Carson Wentz gives you a game. You were kind of hoping you could reinvent Carson Wentz. The Rams seem to be legitimately good.
I like how you frame that. Carson Wentz gave you a game in that he could actually suit up and play and give you
well, he couldn't
a game.
Finish it.
But got injured late.
Yes, couldn't finish it. Because at one point he was trying to throw a football while only on the top of his helmet.
I think he twisted his own ankle. By just throwing.
He threw an interception on a shovel pass. One of the most insane interceptions I have ever seen on a shovel pass. It is the most direct route to a receiver. It's 2 yards away, and it was intercepted.
You say this, and I saw a great stat during the Kansas City-Baltimore game because you've gotten so used to the absurdity of what Mahomes does where his entire body is half an inch off the floor and he's throwing it 40 yards to the other sideline and you don't understand how it happens. Yesterday, he did one of those panic things where he's almost about to face plant and he just throws it up in the air to Kelsey, assuming, you know, I assume anytime he's
panicked.
Because
he saw the play like 40 minutes earlier. Oh, yeah, but that's one of the best plays of the football week. It's one of the best plays I've ever seen a tight end make.
But what ended up happening is that it ended in an interception, and then the stat goes up. This is Patrick Mahomes' first ever interception in September.
Oh, Jesus.
What?
Come on. That seems impossible.
It does seem impossible.
Makes sense that he would later go on to lose his first ever September game, too. Like,
what?
He's like, and he plays like that all the time. He's always
Mr. September.
He's always running around, levitating over licking basically the grass. Is his tongue down? No, it's not. He's not down. He threw the ball 30 yards to Tyreek Hill somehow, farting it out his butt. How did he do that? I don't know.
But touchdown Pringle anyways.
Yep. That guy's fast. I mean,
everybody's fast. They look so fast.
They really do. It's probably because they are. Like, I don't think they look that way.
It's a bold strategy.
I don't think it's because the jerseys are aerodynamic.
I think farting a touchdown out of your butt is taunting. So that should be 15 yards.
The Maras.
But it all depends on the crew.
At that point, wouldn't it be pooping a touchdown?
Oh, that's...
If you fart a football, is it a poop? Is that your question?
Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
All right, go ahead and put that on the poll.
It's a good question.
It's not a good question. It's a useless question that makes the entire conversation die right there like a turd.
I still don't know the answer, though. I've been thinking about it and marinating on it for a good 10 seconds. I'm not exactly sure. I'm afraid to commit to one answer.
Did you guys see that before this football weekend started? I don't know. If you haven't heard what this is about, you will find it both amusing and not surprising that Bill Belichick, in one of these press conferences where he never says anything, never wants to talk, is usually famously curt and is almost always dry. There's not a lot of laughter in these things.
No.
He was asked a question and he gave an answer that was about 1,500 words long and was about 9 minutes long. And he said 3 or 4 times, "This is a really great question." Do you want to guess what he was asked that made him go on like just an emotional ramble that doesn't have a lot of precedent in the history of dry Belichick press conference?
Was he asked about his long snapper?
He was.
Wow. Oh,
that's the wheelhouse.
He was asked about long snapping. And he talked.
Waiting for that question forever. He came home whistling.
Great day. He called the Maras on the way home. He's like, you're whistling. Not going to believe what they finally asked me. They finally asked me about the long snapper. How is that possible that the only way to engage him, do you think that, I don't think he's remarried. I think this is his girlfriend. Do you think that that's what she asked them on their first date?
Like, that's how she got him?
It's the way to his soul. The long snapper is the way to Belichick's soul. He said three or four times, not only did he walk home whistling, the reporter walks home whistling because he's like, I cracked open Belichick with my question.
He wrote 1,500 words off the long snapper because, hey, I got Belichick on something.
Imagine that beat writer walks into the catering room and the C's part. And it's just like, there he is.
Triumphant music is he's blaring over speakers.
He's entered a new territory, this guy.
Did you guys see that ESPN, and this is, these things die hard, but everyone on ESPN picked FSU to beat Wake Forest, and it's based only, it's not based on what you've seen this season. It's based only on, well, FSU can't lose to Wake Forest, right?
Like that's, yeah, it's based on reputation, of course.
That's one program that does a lot of winning, and that's Wake Forest.
Surely they will have enough pride in their program to dust themselves off after losing to the second most famous Gamecocks and second most famous Jacksonville.
What are they going to do? They paid Taggart how much money to go away, and Taggart was better than Norvell. Like, what are they going
to
do?
It was like $20 million. And I believe they had to pay Oregon also to take Taggart from Oregon. So they ended up paying him a lot of money.
And we said last week, now it's even worse. I think he's got to go 7-3 to match what made them buy out Taggart.
And remember why they found themselves in that position to begin with, Dan. It's because Jimbo Fisher left an FSU program in which this is really hard to do. Which he won a title for. He won a national championship at FSU. They had a down year, obviously, the year that he decided to leave. But that tells you what you need to know about this program. If a head coach who's built up a legacy at this program, who's just very fresh off a national title win, will just opt to leave for Texas A&M to get more support.
But he left for the SEC, did he not?
He left for the SEC. He left for that money. He left right. for those boosters. He left for the resources that program would commit to them. Because Taggart comes in, everyone knows we have to do something about these facilities. So they stretch themselves beyond their financial means, collect all the donations they can for their boosters to go get this coach and pump out this facility that this coach tells them that they've been hearing for years that they need. Coach is a dud. Instead of waiting on it for just a little bit longer to see if they can save some money or know if they made the right choice or not, they fire him. He wasn't very good. What was his record over at FSU?
It was like 9-12.
Yeah, wasn't good. They were on a downward trajectory. So what happens next? You have to absolutely nail your next hire. Otherwise, your program is done. When you're behind the eight ball financially, you're spread that thin, you have to nail it. They go to Memphis. And they get Mike Norvell. And now everybody wants him out. He has a worse record than Taggart had before him. I don't know if they can afford to buy out Mike Norvell right now. And you know whatever coach that they hire has got to be on the cheap. I don't know how they have the money for it.
And you look at their financial picture of paying out Willie Taggart. His buyout to fire him was $18 million. His buyout to hire him from Oregon was $3 million.
Man.
They also had to pay $1.3 million that Oregon still owed to USF. So they paid three buyouts that cost over $22 million.
But don't you guys think that job still has enough cachet right now? It might not in 2 years, but right now it still does, where a good coach might be willing to do it on the cheap? Perhaps?
I don't know, because there were reports that came out around the time Jimbo Fisher left that were basic. I think ESPN did a long story on this. Basically, like, the entire athletic department, it was in disarray. And Jimbo left because he kind of just stopped recruiting. He stopped really caring too much. He was kind of looking to the next thing after winning the national championship. And so it sounds like there's just multiple parties in charge who are completely on separate pages about who to hire, about where to put funds and that sort of thing. So if you're a head coach, that doesn't sound very appealing.
That one needs to marinate with the audience, though. The idea that before now they couldn't figure out how to pay players, and you've got a guy like Taggart out in 2 years after getting three different buyouts worth $22 million.
With the world getting smaller and recruiting advantages not really mattering in terms of your region anymore, you'll be watching St. Thomas at ESPN, and you'll be confused why a coach that has a noon kickoff the very next day is on the sidelines. You don't understand how. Private jets, boosters paying for those private jets. Travel is to be able to go on a recruiting trip to the West Coast midweek. You couldn't do that before. Now you can. It's a totally different game. And where the state of Florida and their programs really rose in the 80s and 90s because of travel logistics, because you had this great fertile recruiting base down here. Now, Nick Saban can fly down here and make a half day trip out of it, see you at your high school practice and fly back, and then FaceTime with some recruit out in Pullman, Washington. It's just different now. And the Florida schools outside of the University of Florida that has a huge alumni base and huge boosters have a real problem because those advantages are dissipating. The other schools are only getting more powerful. Something needs to happen there. It's going to cost money, and I don't think FSU and Miami in particular have that money.
Can you guys, speaking of money, tell me how it is that Fox's pregame show is doing against ESPN's College Game Day, which has been a standard for a long time, and I have not watched much Fox pregame, but I saw that they were playing the hits on Saturday. They brought out Barry Switzer between Oklahoma. This is a college football staple. If you want to know how you arrive in a place where you get Taggart with three different buyouts for $22 million, it's because of the scam we've been running in this sport for a long time, where CEO Bob Stoops or CEO Steve Spurrier, you can cash those checks 10 years after they're gone because of what it is that they've built. And they brought out Barry Switzer before Oklahoma, Nebraska, and they're doing a big pregame show. I've been surprised by how much different Matt Leinart looks now than he did 10 years ago, because all of a sudden he's grown into an adult and no longer looks like a kid. And he's in the middle of this, and they bring out Barry Switzer, who I really was surprised to see, because I didn't know where Barry Switzer was in age and privacy. And this time of football, our coaches are getting really old. And Barry Switzer was such a giant personality when he was playing, or when he was coaching.
Right.
One of the few coaches to ever win a collegiate title and a professional title. And when they brought him out, I was made happy because he, you know, bootlegger's son, big personality, ran roughshod, making Oklahoma matter in a way that it's never mattered since. Even though they love Bob Stoops there, it's never mattered, that program, the way that it mattered with Barry Switzer. And I saw before the Florida game, they brought out Spurrier too. They bring out these old CEOs and they conjure times from the past. And the reason I bring it up is because FSU and Miami were part of that time, and they seem like they're a million miles away from that time. Never mind a million miles away from Alabama, a million miles away from anything that's beneath Alabama.
Well, I like that Barry Switzer's been showing his personality a little bit by going on these shows. He also has a Twitter account, and on Saturday he tweeted, "I'm."
How old is Barry at this point? He just tweeted.
He's 83.
Oh, boy.
He tweeted, "I'm."
It happens.
It happens to the 83-year-old.
I apostrophe M, that is.
Happens to me. Yeah.
Is that a thread by any shot? Maybe we still have to be patient.
He's playing the long game.
You asked about Fox's pregame show. In 2019, which is kind of like the last real season that took the show on the road, they averaged a million viewers. And before the Ohio State-Michigan game, they reportedly came like within 800,000 viewers of College Game Day's figure. They're at like 1.9 million. So it's decent. It's on network television, so it's going to, you know, start from a decent place. So, I mean, it's doing what they want it to do ahead of their big game.
They're putting their big games at noon now. It feels big. They're pouring money into it, is what made me think of it. while I was watching it, I'm like, okay, this is some substantive funds that they're throwing in this.
But I love that they're bringing out the coaches. So if the U was still relevant, they'd be trotting out Larry Coker.
No, like, Jimmy Johnson probably. It wouldn't be Larry Coker.
Coker was more recent.
We don't want recent here. We're talking about an 83-year-old who tweeted, I'm.
Coker's pretty old, though.
Yes. They also got the Rinaldi feature this year. So,
oh, wow.
There needs to be a Twitter account that I set to mobile alerts. Lets me know when the Big Noon Saturday Rinaldi feature is happening.
Oh, but wait a minute. ESPN has countered with the Marty feature. ESPN is trying to counter Rinaldi with the Marty feature.
I saw Marty over the weekend at UF Alabama, and he gave me a big... I was trying to impress some friends, and they're like, Marty doesn't know you. I'm like, Marty knows me. He came over. He gave me a hug and then gave me a second hug, and I'm sorry about that sound in my throat.
Yeah, thank you. Yep. Appreciate you acknowledging it. Mm-hmm. That awkward silence beforehand was all of us loving Marty as a person and nobody wanting to admit that we all prefer the Rinaldi ones.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.